supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
We are just about 12 hours past equinox. Let's put a finger on the balance scale with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, sunrise, sunset, with a 12-hour gap in between, right?
Almost. Pretty close. You know, the word equinox, of course, leads us to believe that, in fact, we'll have equal hours of daylight and darkness when we come to these two points at the, you know, the traverse of the Earth around the sun for the course of the year. There's the vernal equinox, which is where we are now, and the autumnal equinox, which is where we'll arrive in another few months.
So what happened at 6:29 this morning?
Well, at 6:29 this morning, a couple of things happened, really. The Earth arrived at a point in its orbit around the sun where the rotational axis of the Earth allows for us to have equal hours or nearly equal hours of daylight and darkness. If we translate this into a geocentric view of the sky looking up, what this means is that the sun, as it crosses through the sky that day, is crossing right over the Earth's equator.
So the fudge factor is our latitude in the Philadelphia region.
There are actually many fudge factors that go into this. Latitude is one of them. So for this day to be exactly equal hours of daylight and darkness, we'd actually have to be at the equator to make that happen. The farther away we get, the other things begin to creep in. Things like the fact that we count this date as being the point when the center of the sun appears in such a place as it rises above the horizon, whereas sunrise and sunset are when the first point of the sun comes above the horizon. And then there are other sort of idiosyncrasies and discrepancies, like the fact that the Earth's atmosphere acts somewhat like a lens. So we actually see the sun rising above the horizon before it's actually above the horizon. So the sun's not quite there yet. But the difference isn't that much when you count it all the way. It's just that the word itself connotes that wherever you are on the planet, well, you're going to have these equal hours of daylight and darkness.
Equilibrium at the equator. What's happening at the poles?
The day of equinox for the North Pole and the South Pole is a really strange thing because both experience what you could sort of describe as all day, sunrise, sunset, sort of like twilight. So theoretically, what you have is the sun orbiting above the Earth's celestial equator. If you're at the North Pole, that puts the sun right down at the horizon. North or South Pole puts the sun right at the horizon. Okay, so for that day, you'd have the sun going all the way around the horizon. Okay, now, as we move from equinox, if we're looking at the northern hemisphere, what's going to begin to happen, of course, is as the Earth continues its motion around the sun will appear to rise higher and higher in the sky on each successive day. So at the North Pole, you'll begin to get that 24 hours of full daylight with the sun well above the horizon. If we go down to the South Pole, though, we'll have the exact opposite effect, where the sun is now below the horizon, giving extended periods of darkness for entire days.
Derek, a shepherd moon of Saturn is aptly named. It resembles a shepherd's pie in some newly released images.
This one looks really weird. It has been described as either appearing as a flying saucer might appear, or it looks to some to be very much like a ravioli. But if you still can't imagine this, imagine a sphere that has a solid ring around its equator that bulges out into space beyond the surface.
What's going on here? Was it once round and then collided with something else? How's it staying this shape?
It's a very unusual situation. What is thought by astronomers at this point is that even after this moon, Pan, which is only, it's less than 20 miles in diameter, after it fully formed, it's thought that material from the rings of Saturn continued to rain down onto the moon. And those particles eventually built up into this ring that we see surrounding the middle of the planet like a girdle, if you will.
Derek, on nights with clear skies this week, what's available to be seen in the night sky?
We've been tracking Venus for quite some time in the evening sky, since last fall, right through the winter and now into the spring. However, Venus is quickly disappearing from the evening sky, setting into sunset. But it's exchanging places with Mercury. So as Venus gets lower in the sky just after sunset, Mercury pokes its head up above the horizon. You'll need binoculars to catch it, but it will appear as a bright pinpoint of light. But give the sun a chance to get down below the horizon as the sky is darkening before you take a shot for this one. We don't want to be looking too close to the sun. But in the meantime, over in the eastern sky, 10 p.m., Jupiter is well up in the east. And for those of you that are up early in the morning, before 6 a.m., 5:45 in the south and the southwest, you'll find Saturn in the south and Jupiter brightly shining over in the southwest.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.